Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This piece of music is called, somewhat improbably, Great Big God of Hands. Well, if there is a God of Hands, he or she has certainly blessed the two guitarists you're hearing. Louisville's Nathan Salzberg is the archivist of the famed Alan Lomax Archives, and the English-born, Chicago-based James Elkington is best known for his work with Wilco's Jeff Tweedy and Richard Thompson and others. Together, they've released an album of fun, virtuosic, and often surprising guitar duets. Surprising because they do distinctive arrangements of songs by The Smiths and Duke Ellington. But they're going to start us off today with one of their original tunes. This is called Invention Number 4. Here's James Elkington and Nathan Salzberg live on Soundcheck. That's James Elkington and Nathan Salzberg live here in the Soundcheck studio with Invention Number 4. Jim, Nathan, guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely, John.
Nathan, for you, it's a welcome back because you were here in a solo role a couple of years ago now,
right?
Yeah,
it's been a while now.
Yeah.
I think we talked actually 10 years ago now, too, about Lomax-related matters.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who are listening on headphones, Nathan is in your right channel. Jim is playing in your left channel. So Invention Number 4, this is on the record.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Invention Number 1, 2, or 3 that we know of. Were these just like unmitigated disasters?
Or? Yeah, they were failed experiments. And yeah. And the fourth one is the one that took off. I don't think Nathan even heard 1, 2, and 3.
So you wrote these?
Ah, well, no, I didn't. There are a couple of ways that these songs get written. And the initial way was me coming up with songs or sketches and sending them to Nathan for his approval and improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would keep them fairly loose so that he could do his thing. But with this record, we actually tried to write together more in the room.
Mm.
And the rule is usually the person who came up with the initial idea gets to name the song. And the other person can't argue. Although, I did actually play my veto card.
There's plenty of room for argument,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, with everything.
I think, honestly, the reason you do an instrumental duo or any kind of instrumental work is so you get to hang arbitrary titles on things, because that's the most fun part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that piece starts out in a kind of folky vein, but by the end, it's gotten into a little minimalist thing, you know, the repetition. You've got the two parts are interlocking the way some of Steve Reich's music might. I don't know if that's something you guys listen to, but...
It is, actually. I mean, definitely for me. I listen to it. I don't listen to it, I guess, as much as I used to, but I love all that phasing stuff. And yeah, I've always been a fan of that, but there hasn't really been much of an outlet for it until this. But that's literally it's one of those things that you can kind of do on the spur of the moment when you're just playing with one other person and you're playing the same pattern. If you move your pattern across by one beat, then suddenly you get this thing. I'm a King Crimson dude, too, is something that probably doesn't come across very much in the folk acoustic guitar duo. But that's, you know.
Although Robert Fripp has done some kind of folky guitar stuff himself.
That's true. He has. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that all the crafty guitar stuff is that, I suppose.
Yeah.
I like to think we're a little bit in a tradition of sort of the I-65 corridor between Louisville, Kentucky, and Chicago, whereby a lot of bands that I think Jim and I were into in the 90s, such as Rodan and June of 44 and Shellac
Tortoise.
And those kind of things, Tortoise, were doing a kind of, I don't know, a kind of minimal, certainly a kind of math rock.
Well, now
that inspired us a great deal.
It's funny you mentioned Tortoise because, you know, they have a new record coming out and they've already released a track from it and it has an old English name. It's Gescape, G-E-S-C-E-A-P, and that's the name.
Oh.
And you guys, and the reason I haven't named the album up to now, is you guys named your album a Middle English word, right?
Yeah.
And we're saying it Amesis, is this correct?
We're going with Amesis.
Amesis.
I've changed.
I mean, trust you, John. I mean, you're the radio. I mean, you're supposed to have things English.
You seem smarter than me.
Are you saying that I seem that old?
But you might be in touch with
just that sophisticated
arcane language. Yeah, I think you might.
Yes, I'm a native Middle English speaker.
You bear a striking resemblance to Sir Gawain, after all.
I like those words.
So, and Amesis, we would translate it now as snake eyes.
Yeah.
The lowest roll of the dice.
Right. Right.
But
also,
yes,
two singularities.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Or a pair of aces.
That's right.
But I think it's
which maybe is how I like to think of it. Really.
It's maybe more applicable use is that it is something unlucky.
Really?
And this is a way of, I think, managing expectations, is to name your record, Amesis.
This is our second record, and again, we had no reason to think that anyone would necessarily want to put it out or be interested in it if it was put out. So
why do it?
Well, we really do it. I mean, we do it for the fun of it. I have to say, I've known Nathan for a long time and actually I didn't even really know that he was this kind of a guitar player for the first couple of years that I knew him. We were friends mostly, and then I heard a song of his on a compilation for a label called Tompkins Square, and I was knocked out by this piece of music. And
the Imaginational Anthem.
That's correct.
Collection.
Yeah. And And I sort of hatched this plan that maybe we could do a duo thing. Also, that I mean, I hadn't really... There aren't that many acoustic guitars. Well, there probably are. I'm not a huge acoustic guitar nerd, really. Yeah. But it didn't seem to me like there were that many duos of the sort of things that I wanted to hear, the sort of combination of things that I wanted to hear.
Well, the one... I mean, there is one, and that is John Renborn and Stefan Grossman.
Yeah.
They're an Englishman and an American.
Yeah.
Just as you guys are.
Yeah. And I, at the time, I thought that's what I thought was happening, was that this was going to be a sort of Carthy Fahey thing. But it actually turns out that Nathan is probably the bigger Celtic influenced guitar player.
Mm.
And I'm more into Susie and the Banshees.
Well, I mean, Nathan, you're the longtime archivist. You know all about the Anglo roots of what we call American folk music.
Sure. It's funny you actually mentioned that. There's some of my favorite music in the American tradition is especially, you know, obviously square dance, set dance, fiddle tune, string band music from Central Appalachia, Southern Appalachia. And some of that stuff is, you know, you hear them on the records in the 20s and 30s and they're 3 minutes long because that's all the technology could support. But those tunes went on for 25, 30 minutes when they were being played for a dance. And there's some just incredible drone music that came out of that period of American music, you know, both black and white string band music like. And I think that, you know, when we talk about American primitive stuff, that's far more interesting to me than anything sort of more recently people have been doing with American minimalism, you know, on acoustic instruments at least.
Right. We're speaking with the duo guitar team of James Elkington and Nathan Salzberg. The album is called Aimsace, or Aimsace. You want to do another song for us here, just the two of you?
Sure.
This one's called Dim Recollection. Once again, James Elkington and Nathan Salzberg live on Soundcheck. Thank you. Really? That's the end?
We have a lot of songs that end like this. I like the question mark in music.
Very nice. James Elkington in your left channel, Nathan Salzberg playing in your right channel. Both of them here, obviously, in the Soundcheck studio. Dim Recollection is from their record called Aimsace. So, Jim, you did not tune between songs.
I did not.
Nathan, you did, and are in the midst of doing so.
It's all I can do to get him not to tune during songs. Retune.
So you're not in the same tuning, then, for these songs?
Correct.
Is that intentional? Does that give you each, like, your own space in the ecology of the song to occupy?
Well, we come from slightly different mindsets. Nathan has always been into different open tunings, and I, being more feeble-minded, have always been scared that I would not be able to operate a guitar. I would get too confused if I moved around too much. So I tended, like, if I detune, it's just detuning one string. What I've begun to realize is that actually it's kind of just like being able to speak different languages. It's not like you forget your native language just because you've learned something else. But on this particular record, because more of the songs came from Nathan, and I was writing harmony parts or complementary parts, I actually found I could get where I wanted quicker by just staying in standard tuning a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, let it be said that I think, you know, it's a left brain, right brain thing. Jim knows, he knows tab, he can read music, he knows how to chart things out, he can play lead guitar. I can do zero of that, and everything that I do is completely just find your way there and hope that you remember it.
You're a very one-dimensional musician. I've always thought that I'm helping you in some way.
It's true. He makes me better, but I still, the tunings, luckily he's allowed me to put together, us to put together a set where I can sort of follow the tunings down and then back up again. So there's not a whole lot of fooling around mid-song or mid-set.
But you are playing mostly in an open tuning.
Yeah, almost entirely. At least the least open tuning I play in is drop D.
Okay. So for folks who are not guitarists, the importance, the kind of elegance of an open tuning is what?
Well, I would say that you can do more with less. You get a lot of sort of, you know, a lot of strings ring out.
Exactly, yeah.
But there was a really great guitar book that came out, sort of the first really influential parlor guitar handbook that came out in the 1880s maybe, and it said something about resist the urge to retune your strings. There are many mediocre guitarists who think they're making beautiful music just because they know how to basically fool with their hardware. Mm. And that's very true. That remains true to today, I would say.
Nathan, the last time you were here with the solo record, that was Affirmed. Which, you know, was a record that combined two of my favorite things, acoustic guitar and thoroughbred horse racing. There are no horses to be heard or found anywhere lurking on this record, right?
No, there's not. I actually did a solo record a couple years ago after that one. It was called Hard For to Win and Can't Be Won, and that had more of a dog theme.
Yeah.
But there are the only animal that appears on this record actually does appear on the record, is Jim's cat, Ernest, who you can hear meowing. We did not edit him in. He appears at the end of one of the tracks.
Yeah.
It's like a scavenger hunt. You can find it. And my friend Amanda Petrosich also brought back from her trip to Greece a set of Epirotic sheep bells that also appear on the record.
Nice.
So there's a little bit of fauna if you listen closely.
Yeah.
There's also, Jim, a couple of covers.
Yes.
How were those arrived at on an album where most of you guys writing?
The Smiths one, Nathan and I were really big Smiths fans and really big Johnny Marr fans. He was the guitar player in that band. Was himself very. There's actually, I was looking at some video, like a Bert Jansch, who was the guitar player in Pentangle and made these fantastic fingerstyle guitar records. I was looking at the back of a video of his the other day, and there was a quote from Johnny Marr from The Smiths on it, and it said, Bert's so good that people who are influenced by him don't even know that it's him that they're influenced by. It's by the second or third generation of people who heard Burt Jansch. Well, funnily enough, Johnny Marr is that guy for me. I didn't realize that a lot of the things that he played on the first couple of Smiths records with open strings and using open tunings and capos and stuff, that all comes from Burt Jansch and Martin Carthy. And so when I actually heard those folk players later on, it kind of made sense to me. I could. There was something for me to grab onto. Mm. There was a kind of common language there. Anyway, Nathan and I started, you know, we bonded over the Smiths fairly early. And I thought this particular Smith song, it actually has a chord progression that sounds kind of like a Fahey tune or something like that. The chords are actually fairly straightforward and you could give it that treatment. I just thought that would be a fun thing to do. And it's a reel. Yes.
So
that's right.
It is a reel. Celtic.
We don't actually have any. Do we have any reels other than that one? We don't have.
We have a lot of songs in 4/4.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And then the other song was the other cover. Well, actually, there are two more covers on there, but
The Ellington?
Yes, the Duke Ellington one, which is from a record called Money Jungle. Has been great for that because there's so much you can do with the format of just two. It's so limited that it's limitless in its applications.
Yeah.
You know, you can like whatever you do with like two guitars, it's like, oh wow, it's just two guitars playing that thing. Yeah, and then what's the other one?
The last cover is a Norman Blake song from his record Slow Train Through Georgia. It's sort of a very brief reading of the last song on that record. And it's funny because we do a Smith song. Some of the reviews have said they also do a song by Teenage Fan Club's Norman Blake.
Yeah,
and
had a sticker that's saying like covering material all the way from the Smiths to Teenage Fan Club.
Right. Right. So it's not Teenage Fan Club's Norman Blake.
No.
It is Sulphur Springs, Georgia's Norman Blake
of Norman and Nancy.
Of Norman and Nancy fame,
who were divorced for a while and then remarried, as they explained to us on Soundcheck some years ago. Yeah, we got divorced. Didn't take.
I remember that episode.
And as long as we've mentioned Burt Jansch, he appeared, obviously before he passed away, appeared here in this studio and played, you guys have probably heard him play Blackwater Side any number of times. He did the best. So Soundcheck listeners, look him up in our archives, J-A-N-S-C-H, Burt Jansch. Blackwater Side, it was a performance for the ages.
Incredible.
Solo. Yeah.
Yeah, solo.
I mean, I think that's, we saw him around that time when he was doing the rounds and he was playing so well at that point. And it was like, it was right up to the end. He was playing so great.
I'll never forget us being at the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago when we found out that he died. We were there together.
Old
Town School doing whatever just in the afternoon.
I think it was like the first time that we'd gotten together to kind of rehearse in really long time.
Yeah. Well, the album is out. It's called Amsays, and it's a set of duets. James Elkington, Nathan Salzberg, they're here with us on Soundcheck today. Let's hear another of the original tunes, Up of Stairs, which is a strange locution. Where does that come from?
It is of the same ilk of Out of Doors. We were doing something in Jim's attic studio, and I went downstairs to get something. And I was going to go outside and stretch or something, and came back up, and Jim said, "Oh, you're back so soon." And I said, "Well, I was going to go out of doors, but I decided to come back up of stairs," and it stuck. That's how most of these titles are generated.
Yeah.
Well, it's a neat piece. Let's hear a live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. That's called Up of Stairs. It's a song from James Elkington and Nathan Salzberg. Live performance here in the studio. You'll find the song on their new record called Amsace, which is out now. And, you know, guys, when John Fahey was kind of at the height of his powers and his fame, like in the 70s, there was a real place for this kind of music. And then, you know, after that, I mean, Leo Kottke continues to perform. Michael Hedges, up until his death in the mid-90s, had kind of a big following. But they both sang as well. Mm. I mean, are you finding, is there a kind of a renewed interest in kind of instrumental music like this?
Could be. I don't know.
There seems to be. There seems to be a very specific, right now, and this interest in the American primitive guys in particular, like Fahey, like Peter Walker, Basho, Suni McGrath. I certainly am not going to say we're not influenced by that stuff, but I do think that it's a bit reductive to say that all of sort of our crop of guitar players, our generation, are just doing sort of slavish imitations of the American primitive stuff. Jim's and my concern is sort of less of the drone and more of the melody, which might be a more English approach to, you know, to traditional music, certainly.
Right. And Jim, for someone, you know, who travels in rock circles, was this your first love?
It grew to be. It's like a vacation from playing in rock bands and things like that. It's just something that I do on my own. And that's part of the reason why it takes us so long to make records and we play shows very rarely is not because it actually takes us a long time to get the stuff together. It's just that we do it when it's fun and when we have time. That's really the impetus behind the whole thing.
And who's taking care of the Alan Lomax archives, Nathan, while you're gallivanting around with Jim here?
Well, luckily, the Alan Lomax archive in its physical iteration has been at the Library of Congress for 10 years. So my hard drives are actually in the car. If anyone needs something, I can email it to them. But I do have the trusty vacation responder on, which is such a treat.
Okay.
Such a treat.
Although you said you switched that on a day late.
I did. I did. I know a lot got
a lot of people
the wire.
snuck under the door there.
Well, the record is really, it's great to hear the two of you in such good form and here in the studio in a live setting as well. Jim, Nathan, great fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much
again,
for
John.
Having
us.
It's great.
If you like Soundcheck, consider subscribing to our podcast. It's easy. Just find us in the iTunes store and click on Subscribe. We'll send you our latest interviews, in-studio performances, and more.